I appreciate serving the Lord for all these years with her. Amen. Appreciate her serving the Lord with me and putting up with me. So, hallelujah. All right, we're glad to be here tonight. Take your Bible, please, if you would. Go over to the book of Isaiah. Again, if you've got questions about what we do, you guys pray for us. And honestly, if you've ever read a prayer letter and like wonder how that works, how do they do this or how do you not do that? Or why do you do this or why don't you do this? Then please let us know. Sometimes I get ideas from people as well. But the Lord's given us just a lot of stuff going on. We're going to be in at least 15 bases in the next year and a half, I would say. So there's a lot to do. We're making hay while the sun shines. Our current commander-in-chief has speeded and hastened up some good things that normally take a long time to trickle down through the military. Right. And so we're seeing some stuff, and I praise God for that. I mean, who would have thought? But a lot of this year has been working with the Air Force. Air Force has been death on having the gospel, but there's, like I said, there's a new freedom here that should have been there before, but that's because of prayer. Amen? God is not to be stopped when His people get a hold of Him. All right, Isaiah chapter 40. I've been praying about what to preach on, and this is where the Lord's landed me tonight. Isaiah chapter 40. I don't think I preached this the other time I was here. I think I know what I did preach on. I was going to preach on more of a sweet message tonight. And I honestly was, but this is not a hard message. It might be considered hard preaching. But I trust I'm not going to be hard, okay? And I trust it won't be hard to listen to and hard to get a blessing from, all right? In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, it says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And crooked, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. Now in its context, this is prophetic of John the Baptist, but it's also applicable to any preacher. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? In other words, what am I supposed to preach? What's a sermon topic that should be given from the Word of God? And the answer is here. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Keep your finger here if you would. And go over real quick to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians in the New Testament. It's going to read one little passage and then we'll pray and get into this. Ephesians chapter 5. And Galatians. That's why I'm not finding it. I'm in Ephesians. Galatians chapter number 5. And down in verse 15. It says, Galatians 5, verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That lust means a consuming desire, something that gets a hold of you, something that is not easily gotten victory over. Okay, that lust meaning a strong desire. And it says, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God has a strong desire that can consume us. Amen. I'm glad that we can be addicted to the ministry of the saints, the Bible says, instead of addicted to some of the other stuff. Amen. And what have you. These are things that we can be caught up in that are a lot better. And it says here in verse number 17, halfway through, these are contrary one another, said that you cannot do the things that you would. I like that. We, through the Spirit of God, We cannot do the things of the old man, and through the power of the flesh, or the influence of the still existing flesh in me as a Christian, and even in you as a Christian, if you're saved, you still have the old man, and he's corrupt, and he no longer has dominion, but he still is real, and there is still the option to walk after the flesh, or according to the flesh, the Bible says. All right, then verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And it lists a bunch of the works of the flesh. I'm not going to get into all these, but it says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he lists adultery, fornication, uncleanness, etc. There's a long list here of the works of the flesh. And then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 to the end. And this ninefold fruit of the Spirit is an awesome list as well. I want to preach to you tonight on the power of the flesh, or gaining victory over the power of the indwelling flesh. And let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, for His sake, that the Spirit of God would lift up Christ and would hide me out of sight. Lord, behind the cross would be just awesome and wonderful place to be. And Father, He's a shadow of a weary rock, of a mighty rock within a weary land. And I pray that tonight you would help us, Lord, not that we could think anything great about us or church or just about our flesh, but Lord, all about Christ, not about our service for you, not about our success or whatever, Lord, but rather about our Savior. So, Father, may you do it tonight in a great way like you've done before, for the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you don't have to keep your finger there in Galatians, but in Isaiah chapter 40. You know, I preached recently in our most recent church plant near Fort Bragg in North Carolina, a series on cults. And dealing with the cults, the thing, I'm talking about Mormons, you know, morons, amen, JWs, Freemasons, this, all these. I mean, we dealt with a lot of stuff. And on these cults, the big thing that makes us different, that makes true Christianity and salvation experience different from the cults, is the Spirit of God.
Right.
God gets in this thing called Christianity. He is active. He moves. It's not a set of doctrines. It's not a list of just things that, you know, do's and don'ts. It's actually a relationship that is real and daily, and the Holy Spirit of God is leading and helping and changing lives. Amen. And you know, I preached one message on witnessing, cultic witnessing versus Christian witnessing. And the big difference is that JW likes to button up, and Jehovah's Witness, all right? And I'm not trying to be unkind. We understand. I hope you understand that. We may have a visitor tonight. I don't know. That is from one of these other churches. But I'm just saying, they buttonhole people, or they try to trick people and so forth. And if we're not careful, we can kind of do some of the same stuff. You know, you try to, you know, it's like selling encyclopedias to someone that really doesn't want them. And then you come back to, you know, to visit and sell some more things, and they're pulling the blinds down and everything when you show up on the front porch. That's happened to me as a soul winner. And so I've said, Lord, don't let me convince someone against His will. The Holy Spirit of God has to do the convicting.
Right.
And but as He does His thing, I'm so glad that tonight I feel like I'm in a church that the Spirit of God is welcome.
Amen.
And they want Him. And let me tell you, it's been a long time since I've really seen the Holy Spirit of God blow in like I used to see Him blow in. And it may be more commonplace here. I don't know. But I do know this. The way to short circuit the Spirit of God is through the activity of the flesh.
Right.
If you bite and devour one another, you're going to, sure enough, the Spirit of God's not going to feel welcome to show up.
Right.
If we exalt the flesh, He is not going to be able to exalt Jesus. All right. And so, in Galatians chapter 5, we see this warfare where the Spirit of God is wrestling in our lives to bring the control of our lives under Christ. But then we see that the flesh is wrestling to wrest it back under our, what we feel is like our own control.
Right.
Now, the Scripture is very plain in that it gives us illustrations or analogies, or if you will, parables to understand these things. The Holy Spirit is illustrated by the use of oil, for instance, or water. And in fact, I think I preached recently on the oil down in Mississippi. And it's a wonderful illustration. But tonight, there's an illustration about the flesh. This helped me. This helps me to keep some things in check. We read in Isaiah chapter 40 that all flesh is as grass.
Yes, sir.
Now, maybe you've heard a message, I don't know, on this. I preached this one time and I had a preacher say, "I'm the one that came up with that message." I said, "Well, I think I got it from the Lord." I didn't get it. But it's in the Word of God, amen.
Yeah.
So, all flesh is as grass. Let's talk about your flesh, and let's talk about how we need to just kind of lay it aside and get it taken care of so that the Spirit of God can do His thing.
Yeah.
The flesh is like grass. How many of you have a lawn around your house? In Kentucky, I imagine there's a lot of lawns. I do remember preaching this in the desert one day, and as I got into this, my eyes got suddenly saucer size, and I realized these guys have no idea what grass is around here, you know. They got lava rocks. Amen. They got cactus. But all flesh is grass. If you deal with grass, you may understand some of these things. Number one, the flesh is like grass in that it's always growing. It tends to get out of hand. It's always trying to take over. It's just always on the move. The grass is never once and done in lawn care. Amen. The last place where we lived, we don't have to worry about mowing the lawn, praise God, anymore in our home, but unless we help a church. But the last place we lived, we had a lawn, and our neighbor had a lawn care service. And lawn care service, he would come. I think it was green something or other, but he would come, and then the truck would come back, and he would come back. It wasn't because there was a problem with the lawn care service. The problem was the grass. The grass always wanted to take over. The weeds, the dandelions, everything was always on the move. And it's the same way with you and I. We may get victory in our lives, and it's like the grass gets mowed, and we get help, and as we smell the fresh cut grass, maybe at the end of a church service. I'm preaching tonight about the flesh. Someone may hear tonight, get help. There was, in fact, I remember preaching this message, I forget where, it's not real long ago, and there was just someone sobbing at the altar because of some stuff that he was getting some help, hopefully from the Lord about. It was up in Wisconsin, actually, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And you may get help tonight. I hope you get help. I hope that the Lord just kind of says, you know what? Here's some stuff that's for you. And as you get that help, by the way, I was in church this morning. I gave Sunday school and another guy preached. The guy preached what I read this morning in my devotions. I said, "Lord, this is for me." So in the invitation, man, I leaped out of my seat and I was at the altar. I said, "Lord, I don't want to miss this." So you may be that way tonight. You may get some help. I hope that you do. Just because you get a victory in your life, does that mean that it's a permanent victory in this life and you'll never have trouble with it? No, you're going to have to go back and mow that grass again. It's October. I imagine you're done mowing the grass for the year. I don't know. Maybe you have some real prolific grass around here. And you may say, "Man, I've mowed the grass and I'm done, you know, done for the year." And you're just like, "Whoo," and it looks good, right? Until it turns brown. But in the spring, you'll be like, "Hey, what's it doing coming up again? I thought I had this thing finished." And next week, if you got some rain, it's up again.
Yes.
And it's just always on the move. The flesh is never satisfied. Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Jesus said, "The flesh profiteth nothing." It is always trying to do its dirty work, you see. It's always growing. The flesh makes or breaks, just like the grass makes or breaks your testimony. The grass makes or breaks the testimony of your home. I've been in neighborhoods. In fact, I've lived in a neighborhood where I got kind of behind on mowing the grass. And, you know, when your grass is long and ungainly, you got the worst house in the neighborhood. In fact, if you're in a home, anyone here have a homeowners association? All right, God forbid, those things are communists. But these, the homeowners association would say, get it cut. It can't be more than 6 inches long. I've had some 2 feet long. I mean, it's just been out of hand. And you may have a nice painted house with nice looking clean windows, but if the grass looks bad, it looks bad. Your life, if your flesh, if you're living in the flesh, if your life is tending toward, I'm following the flesh, I'm giving into the flesh, I'm yielding to the flesh, your testimony will be the first thing to suffer. People will be able to tell because you've lost the joy. The Holy Spirit of God's quenched. There's no smell of the sweet savor of Jesus Christ. It makes or breaks the testimony of your house. If you do mow your grass, all of a sudden it's like, man, we got the best smelling lawn. We got the beautiful house on the block. Everything's wonderful. And you say, man, you know, we got super house on the block here. Hey, when you get victory, it's like you're getting saved again, almost. I mean, you just have the joy of the Lord about you. It brings that testimony back out. Hey, I'm saying your direction tonight is determining your testimony, and it's determining your destiny. If you're letting the flesh have its way, I'll give you a little, this isn't part of the message, but I've discovered the degree that I stay in the seat and either do not hear the Spirit of God speak in church or do not yield to the Spirit of God and go forward in the invitation, if that's what your church, I mean, most churches are do that. Been in a few, they're like, no, man, everybody kneels at their seat, and that's the way. But if you are not responding, in other words, hey, if your dignity of your flesh is being pampered and being defended, and you're like, I'm not so bad, I don't need this, I don't want anyone to think this. Basically, what you're saying, my flesh is okay. I don't, you know, my flesh is different than anybody else's flesh. I found this out. Your flesh is like my flesh. Everybody needs to respond by putting the flesh in its place. It's always growing. It makes or breaks your testimony. It's needed in a sense. It's needed. You know, in your home, you may say, I'm tired of mowing the grass. It always gets out of hand. I mow it, and you know, in the middle of the, you know, late spring, you got to mow it maybe twice a week in order to make it look nice, right? And you say, I'm just getting tired of it. Maybe your neighbors have a lawn care service because they got some of this, right? And it just looks nice with diagonal cuts all along it. And you're like, well, what's the use? You know, I can never keep up with them, right? Some of you may feel that way about your Christian life. What's the use, right? I'll never be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And here's the thing. You may get tired of cutting the grass and you say, I'm done with it. I don't know who cuts the grass of the church. This would be a terrible thing. I don't know who does, so don't take it personally. Someone here probably does. All right. I hope it's not the preacher. I hope someone else would accept that. But anyway, you say, I'm tired of cutting. You go to the preacher, you say, preacher, I came up with a plan. I've been thinking about this, and we're not going to have to mow the grass of the church anymore. And he's like, really? Are we putting AstroTurf out there? What are we doing? And he says, no, man, I hit it with Roundup. I killed all the grass. We're not going to worry about it anymore. I don't want to know who's doing this, right? But look in your Bible here. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 5. The grass is needed. The flesh is needed in a sense. Verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The same text that says all flesh is grass, verse 6, all flesh is grass. In verse 5 says, all flesh shall see it together. Here's the thing. Your body causes all the trouble that we need. Amen. You look in the mirror in the morning, you're looking at public enemy number one. Amen. We have met the enemy, someone said, and they are us. That's where we are. Well, as you deal with this thing, you may say, you know what? I feel like I'm just going to... In fact, I pastored a guy, and he said, Brother Rob, Pastor, I'm thinking about committing suicide. I'm just tired of dealing with it. Tired of dealing with it. Tired of dealing with the flesh. He was not humble. He was negative. I mean, he was his worst critic. In other words, he rejected encouragement. Let me say that's flesh, by the way, to reject encouragement and say, I'm just some sinner. And he said, I'm thinking of killing myself. He was about 6'8", and there's a lot of him to kill, you know. But he was willing to do it. He had a lot of flesh. Not to say he had a lot of flesh. He was on so many medications, it looked like a Walgreens in his cover. I'm serious. It was a serious thing. This man had been chaptered out of the military, and he was very, very, very down on himself. And I said, Kevin, I said, don't do it. His name is Kevin. I said, if you check out, I said, number one, what about the testimony to your extended family? We were trying to win them. And number two, and there's a little poem that says, God has no hands on earth but your hands. He has no feet but your feet. He has no eyes but your eyes. I said, Kevin, the same hands that may be doing bad things that you're discouraged about, those hands are the hands that can give a gospel tract. Don't check out. Don't round up the flesh. I said, the same eyes that look at bad stuff can read the Bible. Amen. Yeah. Hey, the same feet that go to the bar room. He didn't have a problem with that. Are the same feet that carry you to the house of God. I'm just saying the flesh is needed. All flesh shall see it. The flesh is as grass, but we can get it under control. Yeah. That is the plan of God. By the way, that's the glory of God, is that God would let Christians be the vehicle of carrying His Son around, even though we have the flesh, as a testimony to the powers, the principalities, you know, as a testimony to the lost world that God is worthy of serving by choice, even though we have all these things that could make us feel good, amen, and give us pleasure for a season. The grass is needed in a sense. Next point, it has an inferior glory. An inferior glory. Look down in verse 6. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The flower of the field. That's talking about wildflowers. The glory of our flesh is like a wildflower. You know, we can do pretty good in our flesh. We deal with soldiers all the time. Soldiers and sailors and airmen and marines are very, shall I say, accomplished people. In fact, where we just dealt, the last church plant was near, is a USASOC. I drew a blank of what it stands for. Special Operations Command. I know that, all right? United States Army Special Operations Command. These guys are the choir professionals. These are extremely accomplished people. And so when you talk to them, they are all about, you know, this is what I can do. Right. The flesh can accomplish a lot. We have things that we could, if we're not careful, be very proud about. Right. But it's an inferior glory. Could you imagine me trying to offer my fleshly accomplishments to God, saying, Lord, I'm going to do it all in the flesh. I've got these gifts, and so I'm just going to do these things in the power of the flesh. It'd be like me going to my wife saying, honey, I picked a bunch of wildflowers. Here's a bouquet of dandelions. I picked them just for you and handed them to my wife for Mother's Day. A bouquet of dandelions. She'd say, how much did this cost? Nothing. Isn't that wonderful? It just does. I just can't. I'm not going to try that, all right? That works okay for little kids, yeah, to mommy. And by the way, it works okay for a young Christian. The church is like, praise God. You know, they stand up and you know, as a new Christian sing, and they sound a little bit like Willie and the Boys and all that. And you're like, well, man, praise God. You're encouraging. Amen. But as we get on with this thing in the Lord, we ought to be able to say, you know what? In the power of my flesh, I don't want to do this service for the Lord anymore. It's got an inferior glory. We were in a church in California years ago, and we stopped in. It's in the L.A. area. The church had 1,500 people the year before. But when we came, there was 30 people. And I said, well, what happened? And the man that was in charge, the interim pastor, he said, well, the pastor that was here when it had 1,500, turned out that he was a serial adulterer. He committed adultery over and over and over with many different women. And they had 1,500 people coming. And I thought, how can you explain that? How can you explain that? By the way, the church did recover by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. But that church was operating largely in the power of the persuasion and personality. Right. It had to be right. Of the previous pastor.
Right.
And the church just gravitated to that. No wonder they left when the preacher fell into sin.
Right. Yes, sir.
And I'm not trying to exalt any, but my wife and I as newlyweds, actually before we got married, while we were courting, we were in a church where the pastor was very similar to that. Very charismatic personality. But that he was exposed in what he was up to. And that church, almost everybody stayed at it because we weren't plugged into a man. I'm just saying, it's got an inferior glory. Are you plugged into the glory of yourself, the glory of a man? Or are you plugged into the glory of the Spirit of God, bringing glory to Christ? It's got an inferior kind of flower or inferior glory. Next point. It's only useful if it's kept low. The grass is needed, but it's only useful if it's kept low. The preaching of God's Word mows the grass. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I come to church for one big reason. Maybe not one reason, but a large reason I come to church is because I got stinking flesh and it needs to be mowed regularly. Regularly. In fact, if there's a special meeting in church, that's like bringing in a special lawn care service with fertilizer and special weed killers and stuff. I mean, I want to be here every service.
Amen.
The preaching of God's Word is the only thing that mows the grass. The Bible says it's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us it's the power of God.
Amen.
We have to keep it low. Paul said, I keep under my body. We all have our fleshly appetites, but they will be subdued by the Spirit of God. I'm going to skip that next point there. God's Word cuts the grass, and preaching is lawnmower time. So I like it when I come to church. A good church, the preacher is praying and studying during the week. And you know what that's like? Sharpening the lawnmower blades.
Amen.
I've been on both sides of it many times, pastoring and in between church plants. And I know that we're praying as your preacher prays during the week. Oh God, I don't want to gun after anybody individually. Just sharpen my blade that it cuts everybody's flesh nice and low, beginning with me. Amen. So when the preacher stands to preach, he says, oh God, and he begins to pray. The prayer is really the broom, 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 starting the lawnmower. And then the first point is cutting the first row. Amen. And the second point is the second row. And we're sitting out there. Listen, if grass could talk, what would it say when the lawnmower hits it? It would say, ouch! Why? Don't do this! Grass doesn't like it, but it needs it. Amen. It flourishes under lawnmowers, by the way. The sharper, the better. Amen. And so God's Word cuts the grass. But you can hinder the mower by showing on a Sunday or a Wednesday a sign, an invisible sign in your attitude. And you know what the sign says? Only the preacher can usually see the sign. But when you come to church and you sit down in defense of your flesh, it's saying, keep off the grass. Amen. I know, because I sometimes get preaching and you can tell someone's like, not me.
Yep.
No, sir. Keep off the grass, preacher. So I ask you the question, are you ready for a mowing? I've got the next point, two more points and then I'm done. There are over 4,000 varieties of grass. That means 4,000 species. So I've got 4,000 subpoints I want to preach here. No, I'm just kidding. Sinful flesh is varied in its forms and appetites. And I just want you to know, about time you get victory in one area, there's another kind of grass that starts growing.
That's right.
Amen. There's no way you can stamp all the little fires out. There's no way you can get victory. You just got to stay in the Word of God. You just got to let God do His thing.
Yeah.
Number one, I'm thinking about this kind of grass. Crabgrass.
Oh, yeah.
Crabgrass. Oh me, oh my. That's where you say, I'm going to grouch my way through this thing. I'm just going to just get all mean and crabby and no one's going to mess with me. And this is my way I'm going to get through. I've known a lot of old grumpy people. I know, in fact, I've been grumpy before. It's really like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And I understand sometimes we get wore out. My family, they're missionaries, and we've been in probably 1,200 different churches, I guess. And sometimes you get, we call it peopled out.
Yes, sir.
It's like, I want to just stop and change backgrounds for a while. But crabgrass is where the flesh says, yeah, I'm mean and crabby. I have a right to be mean and crabby, and get out of my way. And I'm just going to, the flesh is starting to grow. Be careful. Crabgrass is on its way. And then I thought about bluegrass. It's kind of the opposite. Bluegrass, I would say, is blues, depression. I got the blues. My wife and I used to listen to a group before we got saved. We're high school sweethearts, and I got to lead her to the Lord after I got saved. But we used to listen. I just remember a group called the Moody Blues. What an unchristian name. Some of you are like, I remember that. Amen. Well, as Christians sometimes engage in depression, it happens. It happens. The psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? But it also said, hope thou in God. He is the help of my countenance. The flesh says, yeah, I got the bluegrass. Bluegrass is growing, and I'm down. And in fact, if I wasn't depressed, I would be depressed that depression is coming. That is flesh. Flesh says, yeah, I'm down. And I refuse. The psalmist said, I refuse to be comforted.
Yeah.
I just refuse. That's flesh. When you refuse to be comforted.
Yep.
But when you say, the Lord and I are going to climb out of this pit, and He's going to lift me out of the miry clay, and I'm going to walk in the land of the living in the light of His countenance again. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to land on our feet. We're going to get through this thing. Then you know the flesh is being cut down again.
Amen.
You see. Some of you may be enduring the bluegrass tonight, and I pray that the Lord helps you. And then Bermuda grass. Back where I'm from, we plant Bermuda grass quite a bit. I got thinking, how could I work this into the message? And I got thinking about Bermudas. You know, when the weather gets real warm outside, you start showing off the flesh. Amen. Hey, listen, I understand you want to be cool, right, in the summer. But when you want to be cool because you want to show off your flesh, that's of the flesh, you see. Someone says, I get my happiness from people staring at how my flesh looks. That's flesh. That's the flesh at work. The Bible says we are not of them that glory in the flesh, but we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Our flesh is a vehicle. It ought to be taken care of. It ought to be kept nice and clean. It's a wonderful opportunity to serve God. It's a testimony, you see. But that's different than having it attractive for the wrong drives, you see. Weather's nice sometimes in the summer. You want to, you know, show off the skin. Listen, the Bible talks about defrauding people, and that's talking about showing the flesh in a way that as a Christian, you know, you shouldn't do.
Amen.
In fact, in Hawaii, they call them grass skirts. Amen. Grass. People go to church, hear the word of God, increase faith, but the word does not profit them. Why? Because it's been supplanted by sight. Oh, help us, Lord. I don't want to give in to the Bermuda grass. All right. What time am I supposed to be done, by the way? I have no idea what time it is. All right. All right. I've got 3,992 subpoints left. Bermuda grass. Hey, did you know that in the Garden of Eden, when man fell into sin, God covered them with coats? And someone says, well, Brother Rob, I believe after salvation, it doesn't matter anymore because we shouldn't have problems with the flesh. You know, we should be able to just kind of look past all these things and, you know, behold nakedness and what. Hey, you ain't real. In fact, in heaven, when we literally will have no problem with sin. Did you know that the Bible says we're going to wear long robes?
That's right. Yes, sir.
In heaven, it's not going to be a heavenly nudist colony. All right. I'm just saying, God wants us covered. He doesn't want us to show off our flesh. Someone says, well, you know, I want everyone looking. I get concerned. I have to be careful here. But I get concerned when men let their wives dress or undress.
Yep.
in provocative ways. I just get concerned about that. So said, well, I like to it makes me feel good. It's good for my self-esteem when my wife, her Coke bottle figure, you know, makes people look. Listen, that's flesh, because someday she may have a 3-liter and you'll want to leave her. Amen. And you need to stay and realize she's for you. All right. She's for you. All right. I got to be careful. Mercy sakes. Bermuda grass. All right. Then there's bamboo grass. Down in North Carolina, there's a whole section of the woods that's bamboo. Bamboo is a type of grass. It's the longest, tallest, hardest, and most difficult to manage and cut. When you are preaching and you deal with bamboo grass, you're talking about people that are grown in the Word, and they are not about to listen to preaching. I have preached this message before. I believe it was up in northern Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't want to down everyone in northern Wisconsin, but the grass gets real long in some of these cold climates where people are like, whoa, you've offended our dignity. We are grown in the Word here. But then why aren't you surrendering to the Word of God? Hey, as it's preached, hey, we're not trying to make people in the flesh become like what we want you to be. It's the Spirit of God that's begging you to let the flesh go and let Jesus be seen. It's not us. It's not about me. It's about Christ. So the bamboo says, well, listen, I feel like I am, you know, grown beyond this kind of thing. Listen, Paul said this, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst not receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast received it? Now you're full. Now you're rich. Now you're reigned as kings without us, as though I would not come to you. Ye are puffed up and not rather more. And so we get puffed up. And the only way I know to deal with bamboo is with a machete. Any pastor that's ever pastored people understands sometimes God sends in an evangelist or a missionary with a machete. Amen. I said, God, I want to preach a sweet message here tonight. And God's like, I want you to preach about the grass. I was like, I don't want to preach about the grass. And God's like, do it. So, and I love you folks, but I don't love them like you love you like your pastor loves you. And I'm being very careful. But our flesh is our problem. In my family, it's the flesh that creates the issues. And the best thing we can do is to learn to have victory over the flesh. All right, so, oh, mercy's sake, monkey grass. That grows down in Texas. We planted a church in Texas. Monkey grass down there. Monkey grass is where snakes live. Copperheads live in the monkey grass. They told us that as soon as we arrived in Texas back in 1993, they said, be careful, don't walk in the monkey grass. And I got thinking, how would I preach monkey grass? I got thinking about monkey business, monkeying around, just doing stuff, just fun, just frolicking, just letting the flesh have its way for a little while. We got to be careful. Whenever the flesh is like, whoo, I'm just kind of, you know, turned on in a fleshly way, we got to say, whoa. Amen. I heard about a pastor. He wasn't a preacher. He went, he was on a preaching trip, and there was a mess up, and he and his secretary in the same hotel room. And he told her, he said, I guess God's in this. And you can imagine the monkey business that followed. And it brought down that entire ministry, not surprisingly. Monkeying around, monkey business. We get giddy. We're alone with the opposite sex. Be careful! Be careful! The Bible still says that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because of the monkey business that would take place if we do that. All right. Oh, mercy. There's a lot of kind of grass. Johnson grass. Rye grass, centipede grass, all these things. Centipede grass grows laterally. It comes from someone else's yard to your yard. Be careful that someone else's grass doesn't get in your life. Amen. Yeah. Evil communications corrupteth good manners. Man. You get around someone that's got flesh that you're not used to, it will become active in your life.
Yes, sir.
Because it crawls, centipede grass. Yeah. Buffalo grass, that's the last one. Buffalo grass, when the grass gets long and you say, man, I feel like I don't have a problem with grass, you got yourself buffaloed. Amen. You're buffaloing yourself. All right, last point tonight. When the grass gets long, you can lose some things, and some things can sneak in.
Amen. That's right.
Down in Texas, there was when we were down there, there was a family that had a little girl, and she went to bed one night, and the family had left some things go, and whatever, the grass, you know, just through neglect. The next morning, when they went to get their girl out of bed, she was not responsive. And so they tried to figure out what was wrong. You know, as they approached the room, she wasn't answering. And as they walked in, they saw the problem. A serpent, a viper, a poisonous snake had snuck in through the window. And it was coiled up in the nightstand next to the little girl's bed. And they looked at the little girl, and she was dead. And they looked at the snake, and they're like, what? How? What? And folks, if you can imagine the hatred those parents had for that snake and for themselves for letting the window open and the grass get long, then you realize what we ought to feel toward the enemy of our souls, our flesh. The grass gets long, things sneak in. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. But he could not ruin the Garden of Eden without the consent willingly of people on the earth to follow the flesh. Last part of this is, when the grass gets long, you can lose some things. You can lose some things. I've been out door knocking and I've been out in the boondocks where the rednecks live. How many of you are rednecks? Amen. All right. Amen. Now, you're probably not a real redneck, because a redneck, it's between mowings, you don't know that there's cars in that lawn and toys and children. And I've approached doors to knock, and it's like, where's the sidewalk here? Mercy sakes. They need to cut the grass. They need a brush hog. And I got thinking, you know, when my flesh gets out of hand, I can lose my kids. Years ago, there was a little girl. In fact, it wasn't too many years ago in Iowa. She went out the door of her house to play in that prairie grass. But the prairie grass gets longer, right? And they weren't, you know, mowing or whatever. And she went out one day. The grass had just gotten a little bit too long. And she could not see over, but she continued out as normal in the play, but she got lost. And she was not able to hear. She got far enough that she couldn't hear her parents calling. And eventually, they had to send out a search party after 3 days. And the neighbors all joined hands, and they walked through the prairie. And as they walked across the prairie, they finally found the little girl. But it's too late. She had died. And I got thinking, how easy it is for children in Christian homes to say, I go to church, I hear the message, I hear the gospel, but I cannot see past the flesh of my parents. I feel like one of my chief jobs is to let the Holy Spirit of God blow over me so that my kids recognize that, yes, I am a sinner and I've got flesh, but I'm trying to get it mowed. I'm dealing with it. I go forward in the response of the invitation. I want my children not to say, Daddy, I hear you, but I don't see Christ in you. I'm lost. I cannot see. I don't want my children to be lost. You can lose some things. Your children, your family can be lost because of the stuff that you've allowed to grow in your life. You say, how do you deal with this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at this verse here. I love this verse. Verse 7. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Are you willing to let the flower of your glory fade a little bit? Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Short of the people is grass. Only way I know to get victory, if God speaks to you ever in a service like this, is to come and say, Lord, you're the heavenly lawn care. I pray that you'd cut my grass. I hope that tonight you say, Lord, cut it down. Make it like a golf course green. Amen. Let's get down to real clean Christianity again. And say, Lord, don't let my flesh be justified. Let the Spirit of God have His way tonight. As we stand on our feet, I'm going to pray. And we're going to end the service. I'll turn it over to the pastor here. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help, because Lord, I'm a man with flesh, like passions. And Lord, I've got failures. And Father, I'm convicted just thinking about some of these points. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, the holy, heavenly lawn care service of the Holy Spirit of God would continue that wondrous work of leading us into all truth and mowing a path of righteousness that others might follow. Father, I pray that You'd speak to hearts in Jesus' name. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, some folks are praying. As a pianist, maybe would come to the piano, thank you, and begin to play something. Our heads bowed, eyes closed is how I do it. If God's spoken to your heart, I just invite you. If God spoke to your heart, listen, I know we've all got flesh. The question is it mowed down? Is it being mowed? Is it being taken care of? Or are you standing tonight in defense of the indefensible? And the flesh is just, you know it's just shaggy. There's weeds springing up and there's nothing profitable there. You say, oh, preacher, I got to get my little jollies. I got to get my little daily dose of my flesh. Listen, that stuff will kill you. The Bible says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Oh, don't let the Spirit of God deal with your heart without responding. I ask you tonight, is God speaking to you? Has God showed you? If the Lord showed you that something, maybe He showed you that you're lost. You say, preacher, I'm here tonight. I heard some things I've never heard before, and I understood a little bit of it, but a lot of it I understand. I'm not even sure I'm saved. Listen, if you've not come to the point where you have said, I am undone, I'm a sinner, I'm flesh, I deserve to go to hell because of my wicked flesh, but God has shown me that. If there's been a time of your life where you said, God showed me, I'm a sinner, and I'm just a hunk of undeserving flesh, and you asked Him to save you, you trusted Christ as your Savior, you turned from your flesh to receive Christ, that's wonderful. But if you've not done that, this would be a great time to do that. God spoke to your heart, you just let the Lord have His way tonight. The Lord will be pleased if His people let Him have His way. Let God do the work. He said, the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and the grass withereth. Your high and mighty pride, let the Spirit of God usurp that and give glory to Jesus. Preacher, serve you.